Welcome to another episode of the I Am Jen Wilson Healing Rebel podcast. And today I have got Joe and Joe Stevenson. That's his surname. Yes. Oh, you know that way I just went blank and I'm looking at the corner of the screen going, oh no, our surname isn't there.
Hi, don't worry, Joe Stevenson.
Jo is a transform and grow coach, and she has a program called Belief Coding. And I know Jo through the Glasgow Girls Club, where I meet a lot of my guests. And when I put a, I can't remember if I put a shout out or I saw that you had commented on somebody else putting in podcast requests, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm on mine too. I am just fascinated about all the different tools that we can use to help us feel better, live better, and everything. Like, I talk a lot about this on my podcast and on my social media. You can't disconnect what's going on in your head to what's going on in your body. That mind, body, body, mind connection is inseparable, no matter what Western medicine tries to ignore.
Exactly.
So when you are dealing with health stuff, you need to deal with the mental stuff as well, 100%. So
yeah, can you do more?
I will send it over to you. So Joe, if you introduce yourself, a little bit of your background, why you do what you do, and then tell us about the belief coding.
Yeah, of course. So hi everyone. So my name is, as Jen said, Joe. So I have recently set up my own business, Transform and Grow Coaching. I have worked in human resources for over 30 years. And earlier this year, I made the decision to give up that corporate career for a number of different reasons, but mainly from a health perspective. So I was at a point of, I had struggled with chronic pain for over a decade, and I had also had chronic fatigue syndrome, and I was also coming through the back end of a divorce after being with my partner for 17 years, and the toll that having that chronic pain condition had had both on my career and my marriage was just huge. So I made the decision to kind of walk away from that and actually really just focus on myself for quite a while. I was also kind of coming through the back end of menopause as well. So it was just like all this stuff happened at one time, and I wasn't in a good place. I wasn't in a great place from a mental perspective. And I really just wanted to take that time out and find myself again, because I felt as I'd just totally lost who I was. And I also felt an immense amount of guilt from being a mother and what my children were kind of watching me go through, but also being, you know, leading a team within the corporate environment and actually being ill quite a lot and not being around for them. So I thought, no, I have to stop this, I have to focus on myself. I spent a lot of time really just what you said, Jen, you know, in terms of the body holds on to so much trauma. And actually, the more we put ourselves through from a life perspective and the trauma that we've got, then that starts to come out in your body. And, you know, we spend so much time, I guess, focusing on trainers for, you know, your body, like going to the gym and all that kind of stuff, but we don't do enough in terms of coaching, like a trainer for your brain. So I spent a lot of time really just researching different methods that were out there. Obviously from my corporate career, I had done a lot of coaching for senior leaders and executives. So I wanted to build on those coaching skills and make it much more about life coaching. But one of the tools that I came across when I was trying to fix myself was belief coding. And belief coding for me is just a really transformational healing modality. And it takes a lot of existing positive psychology and blends it with Eastern healing. So it's kind of like a bit of both. And what we do within belief coding is look at what kind of... limiting beliefs you might have about yourself. So I started this journey because I wanted to take power back of having a chronic pain condition. I was fed up with it defining who I was. And I thought, not enough. I want to take it back. I want to be in my own power and live a much better life in the second half of my life than what I had done for the last decade. So belief coding for me when I started it was to look at my discomfort, which was chronic pain condition, and what were my limiting beliefs that I had around that. And then what it then does is it works with, it taps into your subconscious to find out where those limiting beliefs come from. And typically most of our limiting beliefs come from childhood. And it was blowing my mind, I think, in terms of some of the things that were coming through that were causing me to hold on to trauma in my body.
So I understand what you mean by the term subconscious, but just for anybody listening that maybe doesn't know that term, could you just explain what that means?
Yeah, of course. So you've got your conscious mind and you've got your subconscious mind, and actually your subconscious mind kind of runs the show 95% of the time. So it's the things that we just automatically do. We don't even really think about it. It's some of the habits that you do and how you just live your life. So an example could be, you know, you travel to work every day and you get to work, but you don't really actually think about how you got there because it's your subconscious mind just does it for you. So I don't know if that's a great explanation, but that's for me how it works, is that your subconscious mind is kind of just running the show. It's taking habits that you have had all your life and just running with them. But I think the really good thing is with your subconscious mind is that you can tap into it and you can rewire the neural pathways within your brain to think and act differently. So although our subconscious might be holding on to all these things that we've done habitually over the years, you can change that. And that's a really powerful bit for me.
That's because for so long we thought, there was the thought process that once you were an adult, that was just how you were. Things changed. And I know from my own experience from having done NLP and hypnosis and CBT and whatever other acronym that they can throw out there, tried lots of these different things and used a lot of these different things that actually you can, but it's being able to get into the right state so that you can bypass the chatty mind, mind of going, oh, I can't do that, I can't do that, to be able to tap into to that. So how do you, like, when I've done it before, it's about getting into a relaxed state so that it switches off. Is that the same to the belief in coding?
It's very, very similar. So it doesn't use hypnosis, but it is about getting someone into a very relaxed state of mind. Do a lot of kind of different breathing techniques. So you talked about their NLP and CBT and stuff like that. That's all the positive psychology that comes into belief coding. So that is all fed through it. But in terms of getting people into that subconscious mind, we do a lot of work to prime their subconscious. So it's not hypnosis, but we prime it to think about the, you know, coming out of your head, relaxing into your body, focusing on, you know, relaxation, focusing on really your breathing, and just tapping into what is your discomfort and how is that making you feel. So taking away all the other noises, you say, that incessant chatter, get rid of it and get into your own body, and think of really, it's very close to hypnosis, but it's not hypnosis, if that makes sense. Because I'm a hypnosis practitioner as well, but it's very different in terms of, it's just that breathing and it's relaxation and it's getting people just to think into their body.
And there's a couple of different schools of thought, and when you're dealing with the stuff that comes up, and one school of thought is you need to go back and relive that and then fix the thing, and then there's the other school of thought, it's like you don't need to go back and relive it, you just need to understand how it's presenting to you right now, and then let's work with that. What school of thought does belief coding come under?
So belief coding comes under the basis of, your subconscious will never show you something you're not ready to see. Yeah, so it will only show you things that you're comfortable and ready to deal with. And it also comes from a place of you're not reliving it. So you're not going through that experience again. You're very much looking at it from the perspective of a third party. So we use terminology within belief coding that talks about your reflection. So really your reflection is whatever that memory is that comes up once we take you into priming your subconscious and opening your energetic pathways, etc. And once we're in that position, we work with the reflection and we talk about that reflection as a kind of third party, and we just work with that third party to make them feel safe, to make them feel comfortable, to give them what they need. And we talk about different kind of tools and techniques to help the reflection deal with that moment in time. So we don't work in let's change the past, because clearly you can, but it's more about how can we make you feel safer in that reflection? How can we make that experience that you have went through safer? And I think one of the things is I've done a lot of sessions now, and you do it as part of your accreditation. You do about a good 30 live sessions to make sure that you know the tools and the techniques. But one of the things for me is that the trauma that comes up is very rarely a big thing. Now, don't get me wrong, there are some that it can be very, very traumatic. But typically it can be some, really simple things that have happened to you in your childhood, like being shouted at in front of the whole class, or whatever it may be. Typically they are quite small things.
Because I know, like, Gabor Maté talks about the big T traumas and the small T traumas, and most commonly experiencing the small T, and things like not getting a hug when you're upset about something, like maybe being pushed away, that can create small T trauma, which the person who's pushing you away doesn't think about that, and you as the small child don't know about that, but your nervous system then has created this belief at another point when, and it doesn't also, from what I understand, and correct me if I've misunderstood this, is it doesn't need to be stuff that happened in your childhood. It can also be stuff that's happened in adult life. That's just how your nervous system has processed it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I say, typically, we say typically most of the things will have happened in your childhood, but actually, sometimes what we observe as we go through the belief coding sessions is that there can be something that can happen in your adult life that is triggered from something that has happened in childhood. So what we do is we start with the earliest. Well, we start with the first reflection that comes up, and sometimes that can be in adulthood. But when we're in that reflection and we're in that whole brain integration state, and what I mean by that is we get both left and right hand sides of the brains working together. But when we've got the client in that whole brain integration state and we've worked with the first reflection, we'll then say, is there any other reflections we need to work with? And typically, it then gets younger and younger and younger until you get to the root of what the trigger is, and you clear all of that. And actually, the other thing, and this is a bit that gets a bit, I'll say woo woo, but in the best intention, is that sometimes it can actually be a past life. So one of the things we do is kinesiology, which is obviously Eastern healing method, and we use kinesiology from a muscle mass perspective to be able to answer questions. So one of the things we will do is when we get to the emotion that that session needs to act on, we then ask the questions like, is the emotion of, say it's anxiety, this emotion of anxiety, does it come from your current life? Yes, no. Does it come from your past life? Yes, no. Does it come from the womb? Yes, no. Or is it something you've absorbed from someone else around you? So we look at it from all perspectives. And I would say it's 50-50. Like sometimes it is past lives. I had a really bizarre one when I was going through training, which just blew my mind. And I was a bit like, oh my gosh, where did that come from? And it was a past life.
Amazing. Yeah, I totally believe in the past life stuff. I've also read a study about mice, and they had made the did this is how they kind of worked out the generational trauma thing passing through the study with mice and I think it was peppermint smell. And they made the mice afraid when they smelled peppermint, and then over the generations of the new births, anytime the mouse smelled peppermint, they would feel afraid, but they hadn't made them scared. If you they just presented totally butchered being able to describe that study, but
No, but
the
it's totally true, isn't it? It can
gen
just be that one wee small thing that's.
dawn, the mice were still afraid of the peppermint smell, even though it wasn't them that had been upset and traumatized at the same time as getting the scent. I mean, things that we humans do to animals to try and work out stuff is horrific. It's
I know it really is. It
also
really
baffling.
is. And I think when I started the kind of belief code in January, as I say, I was more like fascinated by the fact that our body could hold on to trauma. And initially, I didn't have a strong like I had done tarot cards and stuff like that over years and gone for readings and all that kind of stuff, but I didn't really see myself as an overly spiritual person. And I think initially that side of it, I was a bit like, nah, I'm not sure about this. But because I've gone through so many sessions that have been done for me. And the good thing is when you become a belief coding facilitator, you can self-facilitate as well. So anytime there's any kind of trigger that you've got, I don't know, shouting at your children or whatever, or you get worked up over something really simple, you can do a very quick self-facilitation and go, right, where the hell's that come from? And deal with it there and then.
So it's the so what parts of it are the Eastern side that brought in just the muscle energy techniques, or are there other parts of Eastern?
So we do energetic pathways in terms of tapping. We use EFT, and that is more to get more information on what reflection we're working with. So we use EFT, we use kinesiology, and I guess a lot of some of the tools that are kind of coming out from hypnosis, but not putting somebody fully into hypnosis. Even going into kind of whole brain integration state is aligned into more of kind of Eastern healing, and it is positive psychology. So the positive psychology bit is all around the before work that we do before we take somebody into priming their subconscious and getting into the whole body integration state. So we use a lot of tools like the NLP and CBT as our questioning techniques to get to the root of what is a discomfort they need to work on. What are the emotions that discomfort creates? And then we then do probably an element of manifestation as well, because we talk about what would you like your dream outcome to be? What would be your dream movie? And we kind of get them into that place of thinking future self. And then what we do is we code in new beliefs at the end of it. So there's energy healing music that we use at the end of a belief coding session to code in the new beliefs, and then we seal in the new beliefs. So all of that should be Eastern healing side.
Yeah, that sounds so good.
It's amazing. Like it really is. And as I say, I started it out to fix myself, and it absolutely has done that. I use this quite a lot when I'm telling my own story, but when I started the training in June, I was on 13 tablets a day. For pain, I had like an old lady pill box because I kept forgetting what I needed to take. And as I say, any session that I had done of me, I worked on pain. And I am on one tablet a day now, and that's just amazing. And
That's
I'm
amazing.
not in any form of level of pain that I used to be in. So to wipe to all of that away. It's just amazing. And the things that I was holding on to, some from past life, some from childhood, some trauma from the fact that I actually had gone through two divorces, one particularly bad marriage when I was really younger, when I was young. That was a trauma that I was holding on to that I had created fibromyalgia, which again, a lot of people don't believe in. They just don't believe. They think fibromyalgia is a condition you've got and you cannot heal that because you will have it for life. But the reality is, and I now firmly believe this, is that the trauma you go through in life does result in you having chronic pain conditions, or it can create in, you know, just any kind of pain coming out in your body, and you can fix it and you can release it. And it's just amazing.
It is totally amazing. And I think, so I've been through a divorce myself, and I don't think we give, and I know a lot of people have, I don't think we give enough credit to how hard that actually is, like the grieving process that you need to go through, plus any other beliefs that you have built up within that marriage that's maybe been the fuel that's ended up causing the marriage to break up, or anything else that can happen like during that. And it's such, it's unfortunately such a common thing for us to experience, and it's just like, oh well, that's you, worst you've got rid of that person, yeah, let's celebrate it. But there's not really, certainly I don't have myself any time to grieve, and I didn't, when my marriage ended, it wasn't because there was badness in it, it was he wanted to live in Australia, which is where he was from, and I wanted to live here. And that had its own thing, but because logically it made sense that we were going to break up, but emotionally I didn't allow myself to express those emotions. But then that came from childhood stuff. So it was after, it was actually after my divorce that I then started doing the NLP work. And over, when you were talking before, over, we used to go for NLP sessions quite regularly, and then I went and did the practitioner training and the master practitioner training, and it wasn't until I was in the master practitioner training that some of the stuff from my, like, being a child in nursery was coming up. Previous to that, it had been stuff that had happened in my 30s, stuff that had happened in my 20s, stuff that had happened in my teenager, and it took time because, like you were saying earlier, your mind will only let you deal with what you're ready to deal with.
Exactly.
And it's at the speed that it processes. How quickly do you get, because you know how, like, you quite often when these new systems get created or we start intertwining different systems, how quickly, and I know it's a lifelong process, this healing journey, but how quickly does that work? Because I know, like, NLP works faster than talk therapy, and maybe something else works a bit faster than NLP, and blah blah blah. They all have ways to not bypass, but just to get through things more rapidly. Is that part of the belief coding, or is the belief coding just back to
own? Yeah, and I think this is one of the things that is so powerful about belief coding, is because it's quite instant. So we think about, you know, things like manifestation and mindfulness, and, you know, looking at where we want to believe, where we want to be, and what we believe about ourselves, and you can do all that work, but if you have still got core beliefs underlying all that, then it's a short-term fix and it will come back. But the beauty of belief coding is you are getting to the root of those core beliefs and you're changing them in one session. So it really depends on what the individual is working with. So say, for example, a client came to me with a sleep disorder, that can get fixed in one session.
Yeah.
So it is immediate. It's a two-hour session, and then there is a follow-up after a week, and then a follow-up after a month, because we give them what we call growth work. So it's only as good as the work that the person does on the back of it, like anything else, but the actual transformation is pretty immediate. So if it's just a small discomfort that somebody wants to work in, you can clear that in one session. If the discomfort or the trauma is something slightly bigger, it can take a few sessions to go through it, but it's much more effective than any talking therapy, and actually it can be so transformational and quick for people to really be instantly different and living a different, you know, different life and having different beliefs about themselves. I think when I started this process, I had, you know, coming out the back of that divorce was, I am unlovable, I'm always going to be in pain. I am just a sick person. You know, I'm not worthy of success. You know, I'm not worthy of a healthy relationship. Really shitty things about myself. I don't believe any of that anymore. And, you know, as I say, it is very, sorry, to say I get
All right.
musical. Yeah, it's pretty immediate.
Yeah, that's good. That's good because I think for some people, like I was speaking to somebody recently and I was saying to them about maybe trying some sort of therapeutic intervention to deal with what they were experiencing, and they're like, I don't want to go and talk about all the past and I don't know where this is coming from, and they were kind of putting roadblocks in their own way, which obviously they're not then ready to come and get a treatment like that
Yeah,
because.
and that's a belief in itself, isn't it? That there is all beliefs. And I think the other beauty of belief coding is because it's the process that somebody goes through, it's not talking therapy. So if I've got a client who doesn't want to actually tell me what is wrong and what they're seeing, they don't need to. I just take them, guide them through the process. So that's another thing that is great for people to think, I don't want to go to talking therapy. I don't want to tell people how I feel or what, you know, what I've experienced as I go through life. I just take them through the process.
Yeah, because I think that there's a lot of shoulds. I should feel okay because this is not really a big thing. Logically, it might not be a big thing, but nervous system wise, physiologically, that's telling a different story.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, sometimes we listen to other people too much as well. It kind of go like, if you think about like some of the things that we're told as children, you know, like if you fall and you hurt yourself, it's like, oh, don't cry, don't cry. And like, if you've had that told, said to you, and it's meant with the best intentions, but actually that's then going, oh, I have to suppress my emotions. I can't show somebody any weakness. I can't cry. Or do you know what I mean? It's simple things like that that, you know, people say to us in our lives that just you hold on to, and it shapes who you are. And another one for me that's a cracker is people say, you know, I have a real money issue, or had a real money issue until I did some belief coding work on it. And it came from hearing things like money doesn't grow on trees, money's the root of all evil. And it's just stuff that you're told when you're younger that you hold on to.
Yeah, so thinking about that then is it doesn't need to be, oh, I'm in pain or I'm feeling anxiety or I'm feeling depression. It could be I want to earn some money, I want my business to be more successful, and that can be.
Yeah, I mean, it touches on anything at all. Any area of life. It could be relationships, it could be weight, it could be you know, not feeling confident enough to do a presentation or confident enough to grow my business. It could be any area of life, and that's what I love about it. In terms of working with clients, it's not always anxiety, depression, or, you know, it could just be like, I've got an issue with money, with a relationship, I don't, you know, loads of stuff, but every area of life it can tackle.
Yeah, and the thing is, they're all connected. So you might then go and work on this money thing and then discover it was actually impacting another, those beliefs were impacting another area of your life that you just maybe didn't think about, or maybe you hadn't connected that your problems being stuck in business was why you had a sore back all the time.
I know, and that's the thing. It's amazing in terms of what kind of knock-on effect it has. It's got like a ripple effect. So you might change, you know, some core beliefs around, I don't know, money as an example, and then it has this ripple effect that you then become successful over here, or you find something different that energizes you. So it's the ripple effect that it has in other areas of your life, which is just amazing.
Which could be useful for somebody, if somebody's listening to this and they feel like they have a big thing but they're not ready to deal with the big thing, if there's a smaller thing, then they could have the intention to work on that smaller thing for deal with that. That might then help the big thing, but it might also then remove that small thing for them to then feel more open about the big thing.
Yeah, not completely. And I think, you know, I've had clients that kind of book block sessions and they want to work on anxiety. And I'm like, anxiety is a massive big thing. So we say, right, what's your first discomfort that you want to work on around anxiety rather than saying anxiety is the whole thing? And it could be somebody will say, well, actually, I hate the fact that I get worked up before meeting new people. And it'll be like, right, we'll work on that first. And that's what you work on. And then it's like, well, what's the other discomfort around anxiety? And you drill down and you drill down, but you work on kind of smaller stuff first. But the ripple effect it has on everything, is brilliant.
Yeah, because that anxiety of getting out the door or making a phone call.
Yeah.
How you show up in the world.
Exactly. So work on the small bits first, and then it would just, rather than thinking, my God, I'm anxious about everything. Then we drill down and go, right, what's the key things? And then we work on it better, one element at a time.
Because it doesn't start as anxious about everything. It starts as being anxious about something and then it snowballs up.
Then becomes a trigger and then it just becomes bigger and bigger.
Yeah. And then that would be the same for depression. That would be the same with weight gain. That's the same with
everything.
Pain. Like your body didn't wake up one morning and go, oh my God, my whole body's in pain. There would have been something and it was a wee bit niggly. You ignored it. But like I always say to my clients, like pain is a message from your body to pay attention to something. And it might be that you just need to move more, but it also might be that you need to deal with what's going on in your noggin.
Yeah, you're not dealing with the emotional trauma and then that's coming out in your body. And yeah, it's one of the things that, we do within the belief coding is that kind of before sessions, a lot of that NLP question in terms of, when did they first experience the symptoms? When did they, when did that start for them? And how did it, come out in their body? And what was happening in their lives at that time? Because I could never understand why all of a sudden I had pain across my neck and my shoulders. And actually, through belief coding, so I get diagnosed with fibromyalgia 12 years ago. And I kept saying to me, have you had any trauma? Have you had any accidents? And I'm like, no. I don't know where this came from, just came out overnight. But through belief coding, the way that it had actually started from was from the breakdown of my first marriage that had happened probably about 10 years before that. I just never dealt with it. Never ever dealt with it. At the time, my children were 2 and 5. And my focus was just on them. It's like, I need to get them through it. I need to get them through it. And I want them to feel safe. I want them to feel secure, but never focused on myself. And I had held on to that for so long that it came out of my body.
Yeah.
And I won't be the only one that does that. Everybody does it.
Yeah, I was going to say, everybody does it, but it's also really important. And this is a lesson I've learned over the last few years, is don't feel guilty about what you did in the past. Because you're always in survival mode, especially when something big happens. You go into survival mode of looking after other people, and that might be part of your coping mechanism to get you to where you are today.
Yeah.
But it's letting go of that, look at all the things that you should have done, look at all the things that you could have done, but you didn't do them. So you can beat yourself up and then feel even worse, or you can be like, all right, okay, well, what can I do today? What can I do right now that's going to move me in the direction that I want to go?
Exactly, yeah. And I think it's trying to get to a place of, the past is the past, don't beat yourself up about it, but actually don't hold on to it in terms of how you think about yourself and what the way you talk to yourself. You have to release that and be kind to yourself. And again, belief coding will do an element of that, because it will be saying, actually, that's a belief you've got about yourself from something that's happened in your past. So we need to let go of that. You need to get rid of it, and you need to have new beliefs.
Yes, much kinder and more compassionate beliefs.
Exactly. we are our worst critics in terms of how we talk to ourselves, in terms of that negative self-talk. And I find myself more and more, even just like having conversations with friends, I'll say something about like, that's a belief, I'm gonna have to change that. They're like, oh my God, you're driving us mad.
Inviting you to things.
I know, but that's a belief. Stop it. but yeah, it's an amazing tool, and I think just brings so many of the other tools that you have under coaching and positive psychology and the Eastern healing together in such a powerful way.
Yeah, it's amazing. Is there any aspect of this that we haven't spoken about yet that you want to talk about today?
I think the only other thing was so belief coding itself in a one-to-one say perspective is so powerful, but one of the things that belief code in itself, the founder is now releasing is group belief coding sessions,
Yeah.
which I've just actually gone through the training to become a master facilitator, so not fully accredited yet. Still got to launch some trainee programs for it. But what that allows you to do is to work with a group together
Yeah.
and take them through belief coding and actually align it into other coaching tools. So, for example, one of the programs I will run is Step Into Your Power, and that is all about, looking at procrastination, positivity, self-sabotage, but then doing belief coding as a group to understand where that comes from. So, Jen, you're frozen. I don't know if you can still hear me. I will keep talking. I'm not sure if you're still with me and you can still hear me. But yeah, so the master facilitation is a real step forward, and I think for me, brings that to the masses and makes it a bit more affordable as well. So sorry, Jen, you froze there, so I'm not sure how much of that you heard.
I totally froze there. Hopefully that still recorded you while it kicked me out and then let me back in again. So I missed what you said, other than it makes it more affordable for the group coaching. But group coaching was one of the questions that I actually had at the start that I thought, oh, I wonder if you can do that in groups.
Yeah, so it's brand new. There's only 70 people that have gone through the master facilitation globally. So it is brand new, and super excited to bring that out in January as part of my accreditation. So it's going to be so powerful and a game changer for me.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
You keep freezing on me, Jen. So hopefully that's all captured for
It's
you.
captured in the recording because that's what's important. But this did happen before, and the girl just kept chatting away. And when I went to the recording, it was all there. So happy
Yeah,
days.
that's what I did. I just kept chatting. Sorry, my dog, that's woke my dog up.
Thank you so much. So, where do people find you online?
So it's Transform Grow Coaching, both on Facebook and Instagram. So easier to find. And my website is transformgrowcoaching.com. So all kind of same
All the same. Is it
same.
nice and
Same.
easy? I'll put the link to that into the show notes so
Oh,
that
thank you. Much appreciated.
scroll down and click wherever it is that they're li listening or watching this. So thank you so much for
Oh, you're
sharing
very welcome.
that. And well done you for getting off all those pain meds. That's incredible.
I
Like you're
know it is. I still even sometimes think, God, I can't believe where I was in April of this year to where I am now. It's just amazing.
yeah.
It doesn't look like I've the hair, but to not be in the pain that I was, and it's removed other things. It's had that ripple effect that we talked about. I'm not as down and depressed as I was because it was really impacting my mental health. So I've got so much more energy and drive than I had 6 7 months ago. So it's life-changing. And now that I know it's been life-changing for me, I want to be able to help as many people as possible because it really is transformational.
Absolutely.
Thank
We
you
love
very much.
to hear what helps us because it works.
It definitely does. And as I say, in January, towards the end of January, I'll have two of the group programs launching as beta testing for the group facilitation. So one is Say No to Pain, so one very close to home for me, and so that's more for chronic pain sufferers. And the other one is Step Into Your Power, which is about middle-aged women coming out the other end of divorce, menopause, life in general. So two amazing programs. So yeah.
That's
That will
exciting.
be promoted quite heavily over my social media.
But when I see it, I will share it for you as well.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Jen. That's
Thank
been
you so much
fabulous.
for the podcast today. That has been fabulous.
Thank you.